Hey everybody, Shane here with the Rock Paper Podcast. This week's episode is sponsored by Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance. She works with all lines of insurance, whether it's home, auto, life, or business. Give her a call at 636-288-4672. She'll get you a quote. It's fast, easy, and painless. See what she can save you some money and make sure you're properly insured. Again, it's 288-4672. Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance.
Hi, you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. I'm Morgan from Bruce Quinn.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, episode 21. My name is Chris Bumeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
We are recording this on National Podcast Day. Yeah. It's not going to be released on that day, but I mean, it's okay. We don't care. Quick shout outs to our local podcast buddy friends, SDL Tech Talk, Death Cake Podcast, and Geekly Podcast. Those guys are awesome. Check them out. Go leave them a review on their podcast. Let them know how they're doing. Because they're working hard in St. Louis like we are. It's pretty cool. Our guest this week is Morgan and Jason of the band Bruiser Queen, who have an album coming out on October 7th called Sweet Static. Their album release show is October 3rd. Correct, I'm off Broadway. Morgan, Jason, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We're sitting here in the new, sort of new, I guess. Steve's Hot Dogs here, and
still got that new place smell.
Still smells like a new hot dog. It's nice. So it's cool. First time I've been out here. I'm gonna have my first hot dog, Steve's Hot Dog later. So, but yeah, Morgan, Jason, thanks for coming on. How's it going? And you guys are getting ready for a little listen. Kind of tonight, right? The new
Totally. So. Right on. Yeah, we're going to be at the TikTok Tavern right next door. We're going to be giving a listening party to our new album. It's called Sweet Static.
At first, when I started to like write down, I wrote Start Static, which is Sugar Cult's album, and I'm like, that'd probably be kind of rude if I didn't write the correct album name. They're going to play Start Static. And
we're actually not playing ours. It's not going to be available for a year, so we just decided.
They're a Sugar Cult cover band.
Sure.
Definitely. Well, so let's kind of get going on how you guys kind of get together. How long has it been together for since 2010? Is that correct? Or how long has it been
officially Bruiser Queen?
Yeah, we started up in 2010. We were kind of had a little bit different format right in the beginning. We had a four-piece band. Now we're a duo, for those that don't know. Bassist and another guitar player or whatever. But so we did that for about a year.
Yep.
We did some cool stuff like Undercover Weekend, right? In our first year, we did
Descendants.
Was so cool. So lifelong dream, played a bunch of Descendants songs.
Yeah.
And then so sort of in the first year, we did a lot of that. And then as it kind of went into the second year, it just sort of became a duo just out of practicality and different schedules and that kind of thing. So we've been kicking the duo stuff for about 3 years now.
Which works really well, especially for
touring.
Works
out great for touring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, less the fewer people you have to worry about, like...
Oh, yeah.
Developing or whatever, you know, it definitely is a is
totally
nice.
Yeah, I text Morgan, I'm like, hey, you ready for practice? Like, all right, see you in 10.
Well, I don't know, can other people make it? There are no other people.
Right.
Sweet, let's do it. Nice.
Yeah.
So who's, I know these are kind of some basic questions, but who are you guys' influences in terms of what kind of leads to your style of music? You know?
Yeah, I think the Muffs is like a good shared one, right?
Yeah, definitely the Muffs.
You're a big Pixies fan.
Pixies for sure.
Yeah, like you said, Descendants of a... Definitely on my drumming, you
sure.
You know, I mean, Bill Stevens is the man, right? Some of your songwriting ones.
Gosh. Kind of more recently, like Best Coast, Jeff the Brotherhood.
Yeah, Bleached, we're big Bleached fans. Yeah.
Huge Bleached fans.
Mm-hmm. Cat Power, you look at Cat Power.
Yeah, right? Cat Power, definitely. Shannon and the Clams, like Shannon Shaw's voice is amazing.
Yeah.
I'll say that's one thing, your voice is a little distinct, because a lot of times when you have, I don't want to, like, generalize, like, a girl in a rock band, but like a lot of like Paramore, it's like that kind of punk where you got a really good, I mean, your voice is great, and I was listening to a couple of songs, and like you just really are, it's not like you're kind of covering up with a band behind you, you can sing, and it's really impressive.
Well, I used to listen to a lot of R&B and other things like Bjork and PJ Harvey and Tori Amos, where they're like singers just out front.
Yeah.
And so I would sing along to everything that had the melody, and so it just kind of picked up belting it out.
Have you ever, and we were kind of, I was talking to Shane on, have you ever listened to Regina Spektor?
Oh, yeah.
That's something, when I heard your voice, she sounds a lot like Regina Spektor. Regina's a great vocalist, and it's just not to say that you're identical, but it sounds really good. And I hope that comes as a compliment.
Of course.
It's almost like our third band member, really. I mean, it's like Morgan's just such an instrument the way you use it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of the guitar and drums almost stay back behind it sometimes, you know, so that we can really let you belt, you know. So
yeah,
for sure.
So what kind of went into writing this album here? I know we go on, like, a lot of the musicians we talk to a time talk about how the music business is in general. So how is it? How did you guys approach the album here and kind of the writing of the songs on it?
Sure. We had several songs that we had been kicking around for a little while. I know Save Me's been around for a couple of years.
That's our second album. This one we're getting ready to come out with. And this track, Save Me, has been around since before we even did the first one. So.
Yeah.
But didn't have any lyrics.
I had to put it on the back burner. I kept coming up with, like, melody and lyrics for it. Like, we had the song already done and demos of it.
Yeah, it's just like a ripper, like.
But they just, I couldn't, I was like, I gotta put it on the back burner. And so finally one day it just kind of came to me and I was like, this is it, this is the song, it's done.
Yeah. So about half of them, I would say, maybe almost half.
I would say
half.
We're
kind of like ones that we just added to our live show. You know, kind of, I would almost say even the first half, that's a 10-track album. First half of the album is like ones that people that come see us all the time are definitely going to know just from our live show.
Sure,
and I think they're so catchy that people often forget that they're not actually out on a record yet. Yeah. So, like, this isn't new material. It's like, well, it actually is. We've never committed it to the album, you know. And so,
Yeah,
and then the other half just kind of thematically.
The other half I kind of wrote, like, they were the most recent ones, probably like half of them.
Yeah, totally.
I kind of wrote like before that summer. Kind of wrote them.
Yeah, just to kind of round out the batch of the new album type thing. So some of them we actually wrote out of kind of practical reasons because of Morgan's voice, she ends up singing so much. And not that she runs out of breath, but sometimes we've discussed, like, wouldn't it be cool to just kind of have one song where we just jam the hell out?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, we
some
don't.
Of that's
yeah,
in there.
So some of that we kind of cooked that in on purpose so that. Wouldn't it be cool if we had this kind of breakdown or this kind of ending, you know?
Yeah.
And so we kind of reverse engineered that a little bit, and that comes from all the touring we've done and stuff, and just kind of knowing that, like, we're going to need a song where we just jam. Like, let's just do that.
Well, and that's kind of cool, too, because that gives you freedom to, I mean, compared to writing a song with the lyrics, you know, where it's kind of structured a certain way, where if it's a jam song, you can kind of vary it up, and you can change it up as much as you want and just have fun with it, and that's
totally.
Got to be an awesome little thing. So with this album coming out, are you guys going to tour? Gonna try and tour?
Definitely. We've already got October kind of locked down for tour.
We're out three to 4 weeks almost in October. We did a 3-week tour in June.
We did.
Kind of like a pre tell everyone, hey, look out for a new album in the fall type tour. And then we sort of spent the summer kind of getting everything, all of our ducks in a row for this album. And then, our release show is this Friday. And then Saturday we take off for Kansas City and it's, you know, boots to the ground after that.
That's awesome.
But you guys, you guys played a big show at the Duck Room, like was that end of July, right? With Wanda Jackson.
Yeah, we got to open for Wanda Jackson.
Oh, so that's gotta be pretty exciting.
Just incredible. Yeah, I mean we've been lucky. I think because one of the things I think that people know about our band is like where our heart's at and what kind of bands we'd like. And so the different promoters, you know, our friend Bird that books at the, you know, Blueberry Hill and the Patch and stuff like that, keeps an eye on stuff that's totally up our alley. And he's like, dudes, you're going to want on this. You in? Like, you even had to ask. Like, opening for Wanda Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, incredible. Yeah.
And I had not forgotten to see her live before. And so it was just, her show was incredible.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
She's funny.
She's like, everything's on point. Like,
yeah, just like the original rock and roller.
She brings it. She really does.
Yeah, I mean, she's getting older. I mean, obviously, but like, she's more lively than half the bands I see still. You know, her stories are cool, and like her understanding of like the audience and the stage and her voice, and it's just, and she has not Lady Bird's backing her up. You know, which are a great band out of Louisville.
Yep.
And so they're amazing as well. So that's a fun place to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorite rooms to go down and see because it's just such a neat, intimate experience there. I was there for the Shaman's Harvest release party a little bit ago, and that was a fun night.
Yeah, right on.
And you guys are playing at Vintage Vinyl soon, is that correct?
Yeah, release day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. How awesome is that, like, just that record store? It's just, the environment, because it's one of those very few that's just... legitimate history store behind it, you know, record store. Like, that's got to be
I mean, I shopped there when amazing. I was young, like, teenager, you know? Like,
did you say there was, like, a store in the back that
there
had,
was.
Like, incense?
It was, like,
and,
Rashad's. It was in the back where, like, the jazz is and what now. It's, like, there was, like, a shop with, like, incense and, like, bootleg tapes and bootleg videos.
Yeah, well, they actually carried that in a record store.
That's
like,
where I bought my
tapes.
First chain wallet, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely, like, from being teenagers and stuff, going in there to, like, actually playing in there. And then the stage is where the jazz section is, too. So that's heavy in itself. Thank you. It's just totally cool. And so Jim and Jen have work up there. Been totally just huge allies and big on our side, you know, every time something comes up, you know, and it's like, hey, let's do it in-store. And we did our 7-inch release last summer. Dinner store in there, and that was just totally fun.
It was amazing.
Like, and they're short, right? They're like 6 songs long, really, because it's just to kind of introduce people to your band and that, and be like, hey, buy the record over there.
Right. Yeah.
And get your name on the marquee.
Yeah.
That's gonna be
which
awesome.
We have the trifecta of Del Mar Loot marquees,
we
right?
Have, yeah.
We've been on the Marquee at the Pageant, Blueberry Hill, and Vintage Vinyl.
Wow.
So. Yeah, these are the little things that keep us
going.
Small things alive. Maybe someday when the documentary comes out, you guys can be on the Tivoli.
Do it down the road. I would love it.
Yeah.
New goal.
Excellent.
They decided not to tour this summer or this fall. They decided just to go for the Tivoli.
Yeah.
We're just gonna start making the documentary. Right
now.
By the way, you guys are on it.
So. Yeah. Get your iPhone out. Start taping it.
We all get our iPhones out. Sweet. So, in terms of like the loop, did you guys grow up in St. Louis?
So I grew up in Illinois, but
area. Well, I don't want to talk to you anymore because
I'm out of here.
So, what? How have you kind of seen the music scene change or progress, or what's your kind of view from growing up to what it is now? Does it seem?
I mean, I feel like the vibe's always been the same. It's just the characters change.
Right.
The bands change. The venues change. But at the heart, it's always been there.
It seems like there's a lot more venues now.
There's an incredible amount of venues.
Exciting.
Yeah, it is. And I'd say, too, it's like in talking to Steve, one of the cool things about you working with Steve and just getting to know, you know, Steve in that way, it's been like he's given this awesome perspective and insight on sort of the way things were when, I mean, we were teenagers going to his shows, you know, and so, like, we didn't know the music scene, you know, or we just showed up to a show and there was people there. But, like, he's been able to give, I mean, specifically Morgan, like, just, like, these really cool stories of, like, what was going on behind the scenes and how shows came together. And in that way, like, it's changed incredibly. Like,
it has,
You know, back when the Urge and stuff like that, they were selling out Mississippi Nights and stuff. Like, and these are local bands doing things. And just in 2014, there's not any really local bands that are selling out something like that, you know. And so I don't know what it is, and I can't put my finger on it, but something's changed in the last, you know, whatever that is. Yeah. So
there's a few bands kind of bubbling under. It's but I feel like as a fan perspective, I feel a lot of like how the Urge came up. They had a lot of support from the Point and things and
stuff like that. Certainly.
And it's, I know they do some stuff with the local talent on Sundays, but it's like.
Yeah.
But like the Urge and
Be like Stir or whoever it was.
Yeah, they all got like play in the afternoon.
Totally, and, all the time. Yeah, it wasn't immediately. I mean, they had the local show, but it was like just an added bonus on the rest of it. And they did the Point Essentials and all that.
Right.
So
I think that helped. That was a huge opportunity for bands that get some big exposure on those Point Essentials. Like
For sure.
That's kind of gone by the wayside.
Yeah, we don't have that anymore. We have KDHX, which is an
incredible resource, but you know, it's like that. It still has its like niche, you know, or whatever, you know. And the Point's something that people can keep on 24/7 and not really think about it too much.
And it always plays like the same like vibe.
Vibe, you know. And sometimes if you're at work and you have KDHX on, and one of those shows comes on that just grates your nerves, you know, and you're out of there. But you know, I mean, at the same time, we're thankful that they've supported us and they play our music, and I check out new stuff all the time through KDHX. And but I mean, that's part of it. And I think people. Just the changing like entertainment scene or whatever that is, just in St. Louis or not, is that people just aren't going to shows as much, you know, unless it's
the crowds kind of
spread out over the whole thing, and so you know, it's I don't know.
I do a little rundown sometimes on the weekends for on my Facebook page, and I try to tag and share events and things, and I try to. And there's sometimes there's like a Friday night, there's like 10 shows that I would go to, and I'm like,
totally.
It's like,
and you try to hit three of them, yeah, I'm sure. You know, yeah.
It's like, man,
I mean, I know it.
It's, yeah, it's hard to pick, you know, sometimes. It's like, and then it's like, well, I just saw them maybe last month or something. Right, so it's like,
check out something new, yeah, you know, this week. Yeah. Fridays are tough. I mean, yeah, we're doing our release show on a Friday, but if we weren't our release show, like, we tend towards Tuesdays and Wednesdays sometimes because
you also gotta worry about in this town as if there's a baseball game
I mean, don't think I haven't been checking my phone for the Cardinals game. Yeah. It was like, and you know, it's 5:30, so it's 7:30 in St. Louis, you know, like if it's a 2-hour game, you know, because it can make a huge difference. Sure. It's not one of those things where it's like, oh, there's a basketball game. Yeah. It's like it's a baseball town, man.
Right.
Like, there is no sense in running from it. You just gotta run with it, you know.
We were even nervous about having the release in October.
Yeah. Yeah. Understandably, with the postseason.
It's been a nail biter.
We talked last week with Kelsey from Comedy in the Lou, and as she was saying, like, I'll never book a show in October anymore, but now it's like October is like a huge month for comedy in St. Louis.
Crazy.
And but she goes, hopefully none of us get baseballed, and she even has a
baseball.
Yeah,
so.
Well,
if it got baseballed.
I think that's funny. Like, I mean, there's cities who, I'm sure New York, but like, how that's a part of our culture is like how big it is, like Cardinal baseball. And like I'd say I'm a casual fan now, more of a hockey fan, but like how many things revolve around the success of the Cardinals, and when it's October, how much it can actually affect things.
I mean, if they lose, that could be like, that could affect your show, even if the show is in the afternoon. If they lose or if they won, that could also have a huge effect.
I mean, it's a great thing for the community. It brings so much money to the city and things, but it kills the arts, you know. It's like, it's hard for people to support all of it, you know. So.
Totally. What was it? Who was he in the fiber? Was it Ume?
Ume.
Yeah, it was that game, the game we all know. Like, so it looked like game six.
Game six.
You know, it was that night.
Ume
and they
was
had a
playing
show
at the Firebird, they actually, like, waited until the game was over, and we were all at the bar, like, watching. We're like, oh, my gosh.
There's no point. Like, the game was on.
And then the game was over, and then they played, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. Because, like, game six, everyone was going crazy. It was amazing. God, it was the coolest game.
That had to be, too, like, fatiguing. It was because I remember watching that game, and I was worn out sitting on the couch, like, what the hell?
It was pretty wild.
But everyone was, like, all there together, and it was, it was a cool, like, rock and roll show after that. But, it's unique, man. There's no
avoiding it.
Totally.
I mentioned on the show before, but I had a similar experience seeing Lucas Nelson in The Promise of the Real at Old Rock House, and that was the same thing. Like, they had the game playing on the screen and stuff, and then, like, as soon as they were done, Lucas took the stage and played. And but, like, obviously, you can't compete with the game right next door.
Just don't bother.
Don't even bother.
Have the shortened setters on there, everyone will appreciate you for it. Like.
So the release party, you guys are doing it off Broadway.
Yeah.
That's such a cool club.
Absolutely.
We see so many great shows there, you know, and like they've actually changed a bunch since we even started. I mean, going there, you know. 10 years plus ago or whatever, and it just gets better all the time. You know,
they just redid their whole patio.
Patio is beautiful. You know, and they have food out sometimes, and like they got the bar shorter, and I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's like, it's definitely with the concert goer in mind, like
absolutely
kind of from the ground up type thing. You know,
They've really been doing a lot of. I mean, there's just tons of great bands coming through there, and it's like, and that's what I love is like as a fan, being that you can sit right on the stage, like you can come. You know,
sit up
if you get there on time, you can get up close and But you know, like, and that's like, it's all these. There's a lot of talent coming through that just like on their way up, and it's like, or on the way down.
Right. Which they're still great bands, but it doesn't mean anything.
They just don't have the exposure.
Right. Totally. Yeah, their PR agent went a different way or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. For sure. And it's one of those great places to do release parties. Like, it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's like a no brainer almost. Like, you grab a date and do your release party there because, I don't know, something's, I don't know what it is, but it's just the place to do release parties, man. I love it. Everyone loves it.
The go-to.
They're good people over there.
Totally. Steve and those guys have always been great to us.
I've gotten pretty close with Steve and John Henry and
Yeah.
So being being there as frequent as I am. So.
Right. You just kind of keep running in the same folks. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, our friend Bargy does sound up there. Not, he does sound sometimes, but he does door most of the time. So yeah, like, oh, I haven't seen you in 2 days. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, you guys again, huh? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And it is one of those places that I think, like, anything on the calendar is good. Like, if you're just looking for something to do and then you're just like, go up to Opera Alley, man, it's going to be a good show. Like, good bands, and there may be 100 people there, there may be three, you know, I don't know, like, but the bands are top-notch the whole way.
Yeah. I just went there the other night and saw Will Hogue.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a little, I like a lot of the singer-songwriter stuff. And,
sure.
But he's told a story on stage, like how, you know, he comes to his own headlining shows. There's sometimes 100 people, 200 people, you know, in his small clubs. And but like he had that song Even If It Breaks Your Heart that Eli Young band made like a number one country hit and stuff, so and he got to go like tour around with them to help write some more songs. And when he goes on stage with them and plays, and there's like 14,000 people singing his song back to him and stuff.
Crazy.
And like, it's just how crazy that is, experience that is. And then and then he steps off the stage and goes back and do his own show, and there's, you know, 100 people. I mean, he has a great following, but it's just sometimes in these certain markets they're just it's hard to, you know, get the word out about a show. And
totally.
But I can't imagine hearing 14,000 plus people singing my song.
Like when 10 are singing ours, I'm like, oh man, we're the biggest band in the world. Oh, like someone's moving their mouth. I'm like, what? How do they do it?
It's the best.
Yeah, it is really cool.
So how do you guys, speaking kind of promoting things, like how do you guys go about promoting outside of obviously playing shows, but do you guys, I was a band in high school, which whatever, but like I remember having like a street team. Do you guys still, I mean, is that still like relevant anymore
for
people, or is it like
team.
Yeah, we well, are, yeah.
That's kind of what it seems like now, is like that's what bands kind of, because of the internet and things like that, that it's like it's
totally.
Self-promotion is one of the biggest
parts.
Yeah,
I mean, you get a lot of mileage out of your Facebook and Twitter and Instagram type stuff.
Sure.
And then at the same time, to that point, it's like people really dig that personal connection now.
Right.
You know, where like street teams in the past, I don't know, they had a different place, I feel, but now it's like if Pearl Jam's on their own Facebook page talking, it's like that connection there is way more intense than like the street team posting about it or something, you know?
Well, and I think too, during the time of like whatever street team, during that time, I don't know if there was a time, but like people couldn't go to it was, I guess, pre-MySpace, it was like SDL
Punk. Sure,
that's
definitely.
Where you went to kind of find out about a band, but I mean, you didn't have...
R.I.P.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
You didn't have a way to get direct access to a band, where now, like I said, Twitter, you can direct message them, or send a message and they might respond, which is always, like, really awesome. Like, if somebody... Every time I send a tweet out to somebody, if they respond, I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's cool, man. You couldn't do that back in the day.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, like, we do, our shows are the thing, and it's like, we go to so many shows, like...
Yeah, we are around.
We're just huge fans. I mean, it's not... I mean, it does help in a promotional way, you know, we're talking about our show coming up, but at the same time, it's just like, we're there, we're huge fans, number one, and then someone sees us, they're like, man, like, what else are you going to see? And like, well, hey, cool, we're playing Friday, actually. And then, but then Wednesday, there's this other band.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like kind of more organically, instead of just like going, we're here specifically for... It always kind of, I guess it didn't bug me, but like when you come out of a show, like the pageant, there's guys out there just handing out flyers.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't know.
Like, as a band, we're like, man, should we be doing that? Like, we're sitting at home on the couch, like, gosh, we'd be out at the pageant at that show right now handing out flyers. And I'm like, man, every time I get one of those things, I don't throw it on the ground,
sure.
but most people either throw it in the ground or throw it in the trash or throw it in the car and never look at it again. So it's like, I don't know, maybe we just come up with like a really good Facebook post.
Post a flyer on Facebook and
Yeah,
share, it's like almost the same thing.
And you have your little reach count right there, and it's like, I don't know. It does a lot. I mean, it's, you know, free or at least cheaper than, you know, and I don't know, we can spend our time practicing or whatever.
Yeah,
going to show and watching it rather than standing.
Getting better,
outside. Yeah, that whole thing getting better.
Well, and that I think you guys, I think your look, like with even the jean jackets, like you know, like you walk or like I said, I recognized you at Lou Fest, and like you know, it's like so you see the Bruiser Queen jacket and stuff like that. It's just
I don't want you rough.
It's
making any trouble.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just kind of, some people recognize that. And like,
I mean, we'd be lying if we said that wasn't something we focused on and tried to do, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
Well, I think it's all part of the rock thing too. I mean, as much as it's the music, I think a look and everything else all goes into it.
We were just starting a gang.
Yeah. Still just the two of us.
Yeah, it's still just the two.
But we're recruiting anybody that wants to be in the BQ gang.
If you want to be in the BQ gang, just email us and I'll make you a batch.
There's also
batch.
A Facebook page. Too,
yeah,
right?
Join the Facebook page.
We're going to have some raids later. We're going to go vandalize some stuff. Like our latest vandalization. It's pretty cool.
And when we go to shows, we stay at the front. Like, I like to see like what kind of shoes they're wearing, like, or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, we have these vests on that have our band name on the back, so everyone has to look at us too.
Every once in a while, I get kicked in the head by a crowd surfer.
Yeah,
that's all he's talking about.
That's okay, you know. I mean, that's all part of it. Like. Totally.
So, what are
not
some?
First time.
I always hate it. Like, I love being up front, but at the same time, you're always like, all
right.
They should crowd surf the other way. Should go That way, everybody can see you coming.
Plenty of people just lifting up and just there. Like, never see me
get to the back of the room and they just fall.
The crowd stops and then just boom. There's a lot of concerned people. Sorry. That are like, that wasn't good.
Not good.
We didn't think that through thoroughly at all. It's horrible.
Is this the Jameson?
Yeah, what is it?
Those on the audio end of thing, we just got delivered two mysterious cups of liquid.
Yeah, we're so popular, people just give us shots of whiskey.
I hope it's not cyanide.
I feel like it's whiskey, so here we go. You can't see us on the podcast, we're doing it, so hope we don't die.
Ow! Success.
Yep. It's whiskey, right?
Oh, whiskey, for sure.
So there you go.
Is that cyanide? Might have been cyanide.
Cyanide whiskey, it's new.
Cyanide whiskey.
Yeah,
the best kind.
New from Jim Beam.
So tough.
Yeah, for real.
We're tough enough.
Yeah, right on.
So what are some local bands you guys have been kind of following or seeing that really put on some great shows? Like I said, Shane goes to shows all the time.
Yeah, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Pretty Little Empire.
Of course.
I happened to play drums for that band, and they were amazing way before I ever hooked up with them.
Yeah.
Just played Loot Fest, and that was, I don't know, man, they're awesome. Like,
the energy is just amazing. Justin's stage presence.
Yeah, they have awesome songs, man, and, like, they're just, I don't know, they're a great band. Middle Class Fashion is a band that we can't see enough of or hear enough of.
Yeah.
Big fans of those guys. We've played with them probably more times than
anyone.
At times where they're, this is our own internal code, I guess, so to speak. We have the BQ Auxiliary Squad, and because there is just two of us, and Morgan writes all these really great parts, bass and organs and pianos and all this kind of stuff, we, for our big shows like this one we're having, we have all these other people join us. So it's like, they hop up there. Well, it's not, I mean, some of it's spontaneous, but we have all these other people, and so like half of Middle Class plays with us on a routine basis, and we play with them sometimes, and so it's like we're like one and a half bands instead of two at times. So Brother Lee and Leather Jackals, another amazing,
very, very good live show.
Yeah, dude, we played a show with them at the Stagger and over in Edwardsville. and each of those dudes is so talented. We only had two bands, and like, hey, we're gonna just do some acoustic sets. Each of them, did. I don't know, what was it, three or four songs?
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, they're so good. Like each individually, and then they just got up and like played their set together and totally destroyed.
Yeah, it's
like,
amazing.
Like, how are we gonna follow this? Like, great.
And then the Cardinals were starting playing.
Yeah, and then the Cardinals.
Damn Cardinals.
Stupid. Jeez.
Yeah, a new band called The Ruthless. They're young. Oh, I don't know. They're not new there, but they're younger and upcoming. We love playing with them. Tiger Rider is an amazing band.
Shenanigans is what comes to mind.
Yeah, if anyone has a chance to see Tiger Rider,
it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, legendary. They just
legendary.
Should check legendary on the front of their name. They're just wild.
The legendary Tiger Rider.
Yeah, Christina, she's the singer, and she's the perfect front person. Like, she's, I don't know, Iggy Pop.
If you don't end up covered in beer and Fireball, you did something wrong.
Right. Yeah, you must have, like, had to take a call or something outside. Yeah, because, like... who else do we play with all the time? We love seeing
Pretty Little Empire is support on that show, right? The release party?
Yeah, totally. This was my my sneaky attempt to get Pretty Little Empire to play a bunch of shows with us, is to get in their band, actually. And I'm like, guys, I'm already going to be there, so I mean, you know, I already have the night free.
Infiltrated.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, be a huge fan to, they're starting off, and then Josh Berwanger is in the middle, and that's someone that may not necessarily be, I don't know how many in St. Louis, like, household name, but the Anniversary was a band, and he was like the lead singer or whatever it was, guitar player in that band, and so, but man, he just has an amazing band, and they're based out of Kansas.
Yeah,
and
we ended up playing with them at the Riot Room for Middle of the Map. We ended up playing
in Kansas City.
And we just saw that they blew us away, and so we were just like, can you please play our
please, please, tell us you can, don't please, say no. Yeah, and those guys, man, they're amazing, and they're playing with the Hold Steady, and they're doing all kinds of great things, and
they get to open for Raining Sound.
Oh my God, yeah, one of our Raining Sound is a band that's just incredible. And they're playing with them in Kansas City, so
yeah.
I don't know how we're missing that, but we are. So
you don't have to.
I've become good friends with Fivefold, and they're a little more modern rock, what you guys described there is they've teamed up with Evelyn Awake in Kansas City.
Oh yeah.
And then they were Show Baby, which was in South Dakota. And like, so the three of them, Show Baby's now moved to Nashville, but the three of them, like, they started like trading shows, and like,
totally.
So it really helps local and independent artists build an audience in a different market.
Totally.
And so like, so, you know, Fivefold's established himself here in St. Louis, and they'll bring in a band from out of town, and then, like, they all of a sudden, their fans become...
Exactly what we do. It starts small, but, it gets bigger over time.
It's a great idea for independent artists that, are, you know, don't have a huge, publishing deal or whatever it is.
Totally.
And things, so it's nice to help build an audience.
Yeah. I think I just got them on a Heavy Anchor show. I didn't do it. The Furies did it. Nice. Yeah, there's a one-time bass player for Third Eye Blind. It's coming. I booked a video called The Heavy Anchor. Mm-hmm. Shout out. and so, yeah, this band, The Furies, is coming, and I think they just got them on the show. So that's the first time I've had them in there, which is going to be pretty neat. Yeah, it's super exciting, too, booking a venue, and that. And so sometimes I directly reach out to bands and say, hey, can you play the show? Are you interested? Or whatever like that. And sometimes people just bring them in, and I get to check out new bands. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
This is cool.
I think one of the first times I heard about you guys, and speaking of Heavy Anchor, is through Jeremy Essig, who does the Loser shows over there.
Yeah, with Chris.
I remember Jeremy was doing a podcast for a bit, and then I remember he would try to plug new music he heard, and saying something about you guys back. So
cool. Yeah, dude, Loser is so cool.
Yeah, that's a fun show.
So much fun. Yeah. It's like, I only get to make it to them once in a while just because we're traveling a lot and stuff like that. But, man, they're just, I don't know, that's top-notch. It's so cool. So funny.
Those guys are good guys.
Yeah, I mean, as much as anything coming up in St. Louis, I mean, that comedy scene, I think it's coming on strong. I mean, I'm a new fan, I guess, to the comedy scene. I haven't been following it, but it seems to me it's just, like, really coming on, like...
Well, that's really like cool. That's kind of what we talked about last week with Kelsey. Also, is the fact that there's a lot more venues, same thing with music, but there's a lot more venues that are wanting to do comedy as well.
Not just like the Funny Bone or something.
Right. So there's a lot of these alternative kind of clubs, like Firebird. They mentioned doing a lot of comedy.
Totally. Yeah.
So they're set up really good for comedy.
So it's fun to see as a lot. We got a lot of great young comics coming up, but the fact that there's so many venues that want to support it too. So.
Totally, and I mean, to me, on my programming schedule, it's like I'd love to have Chad Wallace does a showcase. Yeah. They call like the Comedy Shipwreck, I think is what it's called, and I have them in there just as much as I do any of my favorite bands because I don't know, man, it's cool to mix it up, and there's lots of places for people to play music, but I'd love to be a supporter of comedy, have a home for that.
I kind of feel like, for me, they go hand in hand. I mean, like...
Totally,
it's fun, like, at some of those festivals when you got, like, a good comic, like, and in between of a good band and things like that. Like, it's... So, I don't know, it shouldn't be so many, like...
I was Kelsey pitching the other day to Brian Cohen from Lufest. She's like, we did this, PLE did this Pretty Little Empire, sorry. That STL Uplaid, yeah. And Brian Cohen, like the founder of Lufest, was like the guest, and like the vibe was like everyone's just like have some comedy at Lufest next year, man. And it was like we got you in this little room together. We're gonna give it a pitch, you know. And so to that point on festivals and stuff, and he said they're always looking for new ideas, and wouldn't that be cool to see some comedy at Lufest?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring the community together. That'd be really awesome.
Sure. Yeah, nice. Totally cool.
I heard about it on another podcast, and I was just like, that sounds like such a fun idea. But they had it was Matt Bronger. He's a good comic I like, and he was telling a story about a show that he did like in L.A., and I was like, man, that'd be so much fun to do something like that here in St. Louis. But it was, like five comics or whatever, and they all do like 10-minute sets, but they had like a house band. On stage.
Cool.
So when the comic finished their set, they sang a song with the band. And they.
Fun!
So the theme of the night was, this particular night was Bob Seger. So everybody did a Bob Seger song. So each comic had to learn their song, and Matt Bronger's was. Was Night Moves.
Right.
It was just like, man, that sounds like such a fun night. Like,
yeah, that's really cool.
Kind of bring all of it together.
Yeah, we're going to do that in Anchor now.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
So
Just do a song with, like, it's like live band karaoke type thing.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I just think that just sounds like it's a blast.
Yeah, so. that was really, really cool. Anyone had to learn that many songs or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm sure afterwards the band could probably play, like, you know, their set or something. And that'd be really neat. Yeah. We're doing that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do it.
We're doing it right now. Get in touch. We'll do it. Heck yeah.
So just out of curiosity, because we've talked to a lot of musicians, and this is always curious point for me, is how you guys go about writing your songs. Because, like, everybody's got different methods, but, like, is it kind of one person brings one song, kind of completed song and kind of filmed, or how do you guys collaborate just, you know, when you, or is it differ each?
It's probably mostly me.
No, it's like 90% of me. That's not probably mostly. It's not that I can't write songs to save my life, because of my old man, I did write songs.
Yeah.
It's true.
But having said that, there's no point for me to write songs when she's such an amazing songwriter.
Well, Bruiser Queen's based around me writing songs.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous for me to. I did write some lyrics to one song.
You did, absolutely.
Yeah, which is not going to be on this album. Thankfully for everyone with ears, that's not going to be on this album.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Ron, I feel like you did really good.
I'm joking.
I'm going to put this right up on the fridge for you.
Yeah, it is on the fridge.
There's only place it is on the fridge and not on our album.
No, it's different. It sometimes it's words, sometimes it's melody, sometimes it's a riff, sometimes... It's just inspiration from surroundings, things people say, or even just ghosts or aliens.
Both of which make an appearance on this album, I
absolutely.
Think.
Yeah.
There you go.
Usually the melody or the music comes first, lyrics probably come after, but there's definitely been times when I've had like the lyric come first and I build a whole song around the lyric.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. I just always like the kind of seeing everybody's different perspective.
It's like at least with local bands, like I kind of write the bass and I kind of write the guitar and I kind of write the drums. It's like I kind of feel like that's like a Craigslist approach. Like,
right,
hey, I've got this and I've got that. Let's get just seems directionless, you know.
Yeah.
And then, like, when you have someone that's a songwriter, it's just good to kind of hop on behind them, you know, and just
like I said, it almost sounds like a force when you do it, the other way. Because, like, okay, let me play a drum beat. It's like, okay, now put a bass to it. It's like, okay,
it ends up like random jams or whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know? And then everyone's blessed with someone like Morgan in their band that has an awesome sense of writing songs. But you know, like, it is nicer and it does sound better whenever whenever there's some direction. You know?
Yeah,
it's really great too. In the studio we were at, it's just. There's instruments everywhere, so there's bass, there's organ.
Yeah, we went to Memphis.
Where'd you guys record it?
Yeah, we did a 7-inch that came out last year. Actually, we had 2 7-inches that came out that Harry did. We go to Memphis to record. We love Memphis. It's, I don't know, as much our home as St. Louis is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got on to record, and our friend Harry has a studio there, and we'll go down there for 3, 4, or 5 days at a time, and just. you know, when I do the drums, I'm essentially done until we're doing backup vocals. But like for Morgan, it's like a playground. Like she picks up, she can play everything there, you know. And
a lot of that stuff. Like, I mean, obviously, like I wrote the guitar lines and the vocals, and you know, I already had practiced a lot of harmonies and like extra guitar parts with it just from our demos. And but just coming in there and like just laying down a bass track, a lot of it I did on the fly. I would just come up with a bass line on the fly or an organ part, or we would just play around the piano and be like, oh my gosh, this sounds so cool, let's do this.
Yeah, that'd be great on this song. Or like, and every time be like, Harry, do you have a, and it's always yes, like do you have a, oh, you have a bass, obviously. He's like, you have a weird sounding piano, oh yeah, right over here.
It sounds like a train.
He fires up, I mean, he has all this really great old like tube, like, so it just fired up and you're like, and Morgan just like hops on and kicks it out, and you know, we layer that in, and luckily in the studio too, you can do like all these really cool harmonies and
absolutely.
Yeah,
that is something that I really wish we could do with live better, but
yeah, in the event, I won't say likely or unlikely, that we somehow just blow up huge, man. You're getting like a
three-piece.
Backup singers. Backup singers is like the number one thing to come in, man. Like,
it's my dream.
Yeah, just have all these really cool big harmonies. And
I go see my friend Wade a lot, and he just does like solo acoustic shows at bars and wineries.
Sure.
And but he's got a harmony pedal now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It really brings so much to, especially his show.
Right.
I don't know how that would work for you guys, but it's just really a neat sound, especially for a solo acoustic deck like that. Like that technology's come along.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm such like a new electric guitar player that it's just the pedals that I do have. You know, the basics. I still am kind of like, I wouldn't say struggling with. I'm good at them, but it's enough to concentrate on, especially with trying to just make the live show. Just keeping my energy up and my focus on like how I'm singing, how I'm playing, how I'm moving. It's hard when you have to like then think about, oh yeah, and what are my feet doing? Where are the pedals at? Oh my gosh. To think about this part I do harmony on. Like it's a little bit too much.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But in that winery setting, you're just, I mean, it's a
in
more
that
controlled
setting,
thing.
That's way
no one's expecting to thrash around or anything.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Yeah, and we've seen some people, man, like you say, like there's people that do really cool loops, you know, you know, on the fly loops and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, for us, man, it's
for right now, I'm
it's rock and roll, man.
It's rock and roll.
Dirty, you know,
it's dirty and sweaty, sometimes I don't hit the pedal, but I still hit the solo, we're good.
Hey, nobody knows but you, right?
No, exactly. Yeah.
There's just two of us. That's always the thing. It's like there is no going off track.
Yeah,
like,
right.
She goes, I go.
Whatever the track
goes.
Is, I'm just building it as I go, and he's following along.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the railroad tracks, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, there's no way for us to get off. Like, we just keep going.
There's so many, too, customizations with, like, pedals and stuff that, you know, when I play guitar, just, like, it blew my mind how many different, I think I was watching something with, like, it was, like, a John Mayer, he was going to a place to record with a couple guys, and he's, like, got a whole room full of all these pedals, and he's like, yeah, it's pretty much eBay for my closet. I'm just like, there's so many different things, and then to customize, it blows my mind. Like, I'm just,
it's like overwhelming, you know. It's,
give me a white tuner,
the
tuner,
and
like a distortion or like a blues, and I like the tremolo, but that was
I've got distortion,
but even then, I'm like,
reverb,
kind of
But I think there's some
I've got
too,
a boost, which I use for solos,
sure.
And then I've got the delay, which beefs up solos too.
But there's something to like what Jack White does. Like he challenges himself to like keep it simple, you know.
Right.
And
yeah.
What can you do with an old guitar that's not very good, you know? And it kind of like,
sure.
I don't know. When you get one of those pods that have those like, you know, 3,000 built-in effects, it's like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I was a bass player.
Yeah.
For way before I even was playing guitar.
Yeah, that's the first band she's played electric guitar.
Yeah,
in,
yeah.
So, like,
and so, just being a bass player, like, I never had any pedals. I was just plugging into an amp and, you know?
Yeah.
And so, it's all about playing for me and, like, moving on stage. And so, having a lot of, like, other things to concentrate on.
Yeah.
And then you lose, like, the stage presence and you lose, like...
Finals becomes a distraction, in a sense.
Yeah.
Because you're,
taking
care of the show. Well, yeah, I think, and that's, we've talked, is, like, one of the biggest things that impresses me when they put on a good live show. You know, if it's hanging out, whatever, you know. If I get more, I'd rather see you moving around and just having a good time.
Because right.
Then the fans really get into
it. For sure.
Just like, oh, that sounds cool. Did you hear that?
Perfectly nailed by number 38. Right.
Yeah. The guy's sitting there with a checklist. He's like, all right, here comes the distortion change.
Right. And people would get a kick whenever you're, like, on a tight wire, you know, like... Yeah. Watching how you're gonna do it, you know, and I don't know, people get that adrenaline inside them, and it's like, how are they gonna pull this off, man? Like, you know, it's victorious when you do.
It is.
Totally.
And you guys mentioned your two vinyl singles, right?
Yeah.
And then, and the new album is gonna be
Totally. We just signed to this Box and Clever Records. It's a St. Louis label. And so the other two, we did 7-inches, which is totally cool to put out 7-inch. It's just like the neatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
So we have two of those. And then so because vinyl takes a long time, we're going to the release party, we're going to have the CDs and the vinyl is just kind of like, you know, it's going to be sort of probably November, December before we
It's going to be on beautiful pink.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be so cool.
I think you guys are, you definitely have that sound where it belongs on.
Totally. Yeah. It's got that big warm, like, crackling pop to it.
And, I'm so excited.
Put on the big 70s headphones and,
there you go.
Rock and roll like that. Totally.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we'll wrap up here because I know you guys got to get over here. So, album comes out October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And the release show's October 3rd at Off Broadway.
Free, all ages.
Available on the Spotify's and iTunes and all that kind of stuff starting Friday too. So anybody that's listening that wants to hop over and check that out too, that's going to be available then.
Awesome.
And we'll be having a pre-order for vinyl.
Oh.
At the show.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. And it says it's going to be pink.
It will be
beautiful,
gorgeous,
sweet. And we're gonna throw the track "Tiny Heart Attack" on at the end of this podcast. So
it's a single on that. It's Shimmy and Shaker.
Yeah, sweet. So you'll be able to check that out. Again, the album is Sweet Static. I like the album art. Won't get into it, obviously, because we've got to get you going, but I think it's pretty rad there.
Well, we have a JPEG somewhere around the internet.
There you go. Yeah, we'll put it as the screen for
appreciate
this. Awesome. So check out Bruiser Queen. The album comes out October 7th. Guys, thanks for coming on and being on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so much fun.
Good luck at the release show.
Rock and roll. Thank you so much. All right. See you guys later.
Episode 21. It's a wrap.
Every time that I
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.